Welcome to CORE Online. My name is Ben. I'm the lead pastor here at CORE. And whether today is your very first time checking us out at CORE or you're back again, we couldn't be more excited that you have chosen to join us as we jump into part two of this Christmas series we're in called Travel Light. And this entire series is this acknowledgement of this journey through life, that every single one of us find ourselves on this journey filled with all sorts of smaller journeys along the way. Our journey through our marriage, our journey through parenting, our journey through this Christmas season. And it's this acknowledgement of this tension that we love to ignore. That in every journey we have ever taken, we have this tendency to accumulate all the wrong things. You see, we live in a culture, if you're anything like me, in which we have a tendency to accumulate souvenirs. We love souvenirs, and we look back on our past and every journey and vacation we've taken, and we see things that we have wasted time and money on that we wish we could get back. And in much the same way, we find ourselves journeying through this stage of our lives, accumulating all of the wrong souvenirs, accumulating things that are more or less deemed baggage. They're not souvenirs. They're really baggage that weighs us down. Baggage that stresses us out. Baggage that keeps us from living a life that we were created to live. Baggage that keeps us from experiencing relationship and our holiday seasons like we wanted to experience. And time again, as we hang on to this unwanted baggage in our lives, we find our journey going down a path we never wanted to go. But this series is about letting go of some of that baggage. This series is all about the benefits of traveling light. And this series is about a realization for every single one of us that getting rid of that baggage is possible. And that when we let go of that baggage and we start to travel light, that every facet of our life feels the benefit of that lighter travel that we presently experience. You see, when we really look close at our lives and the moments of successes and failures of our past, what we are forced to admit, this truth that becomes evident in every success and in every failure along the way, is that in our journeys through life, it is better to have more of what does matter and less of what doesn't. Like when you honestly look back on your past and I look back on my past, aren't some of the greatest moments of our past defined by that truth? That we were capable of letting go of the things that didn't matter while simultaneously hanging on to more of what did. But in order for us to have the margin in our lives to focus on what matters most, we must take the courageous step of letting go of the things we've become accustomed to that don't matter so much. And one of the biggest pieces of unwanted baggage that we typically find ourselves accumulating as we approach the holiday season and spewing out all over the ones that we love during every holiday season is the baggage of bitterness. It's the disdain we have for that one relative that we find a way to avoid every other time of the year, but we can't seem to find a way to avoid them every single Christmas. It's the hurt that we're still hanging on to from the thing our spouse did or the thing our spouse said 4 Christmases ago. It's the offense that we still have for our boss who every single Christmas thinks it's an appropriate Christmas bonus to give us the Jelly of the Month Club. It's the gift that just keeps on giving, right, Clark? And as we hang on to all of that bitterness, it just keeps piling up year after year, Christmas after Christmas. But what if this Christmas could be different? What if this Christmas we found a way to unload that baggage instead of letting it spew out? What if this Christmas we let go instead of letting it eat us up? That bitterness that's living inside of you and inside of me is dangerous when it goes unchecked. It begins to grow into things we never saw coming and affect parts of our lives that we never intended it to affect. It's the reason why the writer of Hebrews gives us this incredible instruction in our lives. He gives us this warning that in our lives, when we allow the baggage of bitterness to take hold, But there are some unwanted consequences that begin to happen. This morning we pick up in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting in verse 14. And here is what the writer warns us of. He says, "Work at living in peace with everyone. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupt many." See, I believe with all of my heart that our spiritual enemy's greatest tool to destroy relationships and harden hearts is bitterness. He wants to plant seeds of offense in our lives in hope that over time, those small seeds of offense will grow into giant roots of bitterness. Giant roots that we don't know how to get rid of, that we don't know how to eradicate from our lives and every facet of our life. That they have grown down so deep that we don't know how to dig them out. It's just a little resentment for that comment she made last week. Just a little anger at what my wife said to me the other day, just a little offense at what my father-in-law keeps joking about that just downright isn't funny to me anymore. You see, if left unchecked, over time, that small seed of offense that happens in a split second will grow into a root of bitterness. But maybe the biggest turning point in our battle against bitterness and anger and hatred, and the roots of that that is growing down deep in our lives, in our Christmas seasons, in our marriages, in our relationships with our grown kids who have no idea yet how difficult it is to be a parent, and yet they keep disrespecting us. Those roots of bitterness, as they keep growing inside of us, maybe the turning point is for us to recognize in our lives that you can't control what other people do. But you can control how you respond. See, if I got really honest and gave you a sneak peek into my past, what you would find is that so many moments of heartache and hurt of my past are there because I chose to respond in an incorrect way. That I chose to respond in an unhealthy way. And the unhealthy response just pushed those roots deeper into my life. Just pushed those roots deeper into that relationship. My response created a bigger fissure between me and them that became more difficult to overcome with every passing day. You see, if I would have stopped trying to control what someone else said or someone else did to me, and I started just simply controlling how I responded and what I offered in the face of that offense, things would change drastically. And I believe with all of my heart that you can look back into your past and the relationships that are experiencing the remorse of that root of bitterness, and you would say the exact same thing if you got honest enough. That if my response and my reaction had changed in the face of that offense, then maybe these roots wouldn't go so deep. Because here's what we often don't understand. Is that bitterness you are hanging on to and that unforgiveness you are clinging to in your relationship with that person, the bitterness you're hanging on to isn't causing the other person a lick of pain. I promise you that. But it's certainly causing you some. It's certainly creating something inside of you that is brewing and boiling to a breaking point, just ready to spew out on the people around you who had nothing to do with that offense, ready to spew out on your wife or your kids this Christmas when they had nothing to do with what your father-in-law said to you or what your boss gave to you. You see, bitterness is causing all sorts of problems in our lives that we've ignored for far too long. You see, what the writer of Hebrews points out is that the first problem with bitterness that we encounter in our lives and our Christmas seasons and in every one of our relationships is this, is that bitterness has a dangerous root, right? He points that out. When we look in verse 15, he says, "Watch out. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you." It's like the writer of Hebrews is giving this warning that when you allow bitterness to grow deep into your heart, every passing day, it becomes harder to root out. It becomes harder to dig out. It becomes more permanent in your life, in the way in which you look at everybody you encounter, the way in which you react to your wife, the way in which you react to your kids. Watch out that you don't allow bitterness to take root in your life, because when you do, what's the promise that he gives? It will trouble you. Just this week, I came across this reality, this truth, this fact when it comes to the oak tree. Many of us know the oak tree is this beautiful big tree that has this uncanny ability to withstand the storms that come along in this world. And the reason in which the oak tree is capable of withstanding anything that blows against it is this. Is what they believe is that the average oak tree has roots that if you stretch the root system out of an average oak tree, it would stretch out to over 1 linear mile. And once that root grows as deep as 1 linear mile, it is next to impossible to move that tree. It is next to impossible to get rid of what has sunk that deep into the ground. You see, in our lives, the exact same thing is true. And the bitterness and the lack of forgiveness and the hatred that we are hanging on to with the people around us, that when we allow it to fester there for so long, it becomes almost impossible for us to move it out of our lives. It's the reason why Paul says, man, the root that you should be allowing to grow deep in your lives when it comes to your relationships with others is this root of love. Because love keeps no record of wrongs. What you and I know about bitterness is that that is not an accurate representation of bitterness. Because bitterness keeps a long log of every detail of every wrong we've ever experienced with that person. When we allow that kind of bitterness to hang around, it's more likely to stay for good. Just this summer, we got a bright idea to start redoing some of the things in our backyard. We started tearing up our deck and replacing the railings and repainting it. And on the backside of our deck, there were a couple of bushes there that were ugly, like U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Like every single summer, it was like because they were up against the deck, the backside of it was completely dead and the front side of it just didn't look that good either. And we just decided, man, we got to get rid of those because whoever built this house and planted those bushes, when they walked into Lowe's and you know that little picture card that's in every potted plant or bush or piece of shrubbery that shows you what it's going to grow into. When they looked at that card, it had to be like a McDonald's experience. Like they looked at the menu board and they're like, man, that Big Mac looks delicious. And then they get the box and they crack it open and it's like, what's in my box is not the same thing that's up there on that board. And the same thing was true in this bush. It's like they could not have picked this out knowing that it was going to look like this someday. But we decided to get rid of these couple of bushes that were up against the deck and replace them with just a couple of smaller greenery things that would just always stay green. As I started the replacement process, I thought, I'm just going to do this myself. And I started digging down in to these bushes to the point where it created blisters on my hands. And I felt like I wasn't making any progress whatsoever at cutting through the root system. And what I quickly found is that the roots had grown underneath the deck and had started to grow out into the yard. And there came a point where it was like the roots were just too much for me to handle, too much for me to get rid of on my own. And I had to call in a favor of a friend who had a giant tractor and they like hooked chains up to this bush and they yanked the entire thing out of the yard. But in every single one of our lives, there is this root that has started to grow down deep and it started to grow underneath of things and latch onto things that it was never intended to latch onto. And it becomes harder and harder with each passing day to get rid of that dangerous root the longer we allow it to grow. But it's not just a dangerous root that affects our life. What we also know about bitterness is that bitterness produces a poisonous fruit. Bitterness produces a poisonous fruit. You see, the writer in Hebrews doesn't just stop at this root of bitterness will trouble you. He also says, watch out that no root of bitterness grows to trouble you, corrupting many. See, the crazy part about bitterness is that it doesn't just infect you. Over time, bitterness has the power to slowly poison many. It grows. It spreads like wildfire. The collateral damage of bitterness is profound. You ever noticed how one bitter person can destroy a family? It only takes one bitter person to destroy a marriage. You ever notice how one bitter person can make a workplace toxic and unbearable to work in? And right now, every single one of us is thinking, man, I know this person in my life that's hanging on to bitterness and they've destroyed our family or they've destroyed their marriage. And I sure hope they're turning in to Core Online to listen to this message. And I think right now what we need to stop and what we need to recognize is this, is that bitterness might just be the hardest sin for us to see in the mirror. Y'all okay? Because bitterness always comes with a justification attached to it. It always comes with a justification that the only reason I'm experiencing bitterness is because they were wrong first, is because of what they said to me, is because what they did to me. And if they wouldn't have been wrong first, then I wouldn't be feeling and dealing with this bitterness that's presently happening in my life. It was somebody else's wrongdoing. And the problem is that too often we walk into places like this and we have no problem celebrating the love of God while harboring hatred in our own hearts. And if we're going to get to a place in which our Christmases and our marriages and our lives, this journey that we presently find ourselves in, is much better, it can't work that way anymore. We can no longer be the people who freely receive the forgiveness of God and yet find it okay to withhold it from others. And I know that's hard to hear. But the truth of the matter is that we cannot heal from that which we won't acknowledge. I can't heal from the things in which I won't acknowledge. And so maybe this morning, the first step that we need to take to be able to see this bitterness living inside of us in the mirror is for us to simply take the step of answering the question, who are you holding on to bitterness towards? Right now in your life, who is it that you are holding on to bitterness towards? And take solace in this. You're in the comfy confines of your own house, in your own recliner. It's all right in this moment to just say it out loud, to acknowledge it right there. Maybe not if the bitterness you're holding is towards the person who's sitting in the recliner right next to you. But if it's somebody else or nobody else is around, to just acknowledge that. To get to a place in our lives where we are capable of rooting out the root of bitterness in our lives and stopping this poisonous fruit that's spreading into every avenue of our lives. And to finally get to a place where we kill bitterness once and for all. But the question you're asking is this. And how do we do that? Where do we even start? I recognize that there's this resentment, this bitterness, this anger that I've been holding on to, and it's affecting my Christmas, it's affecting my marriage, it's affecting the way I feel every day when I walk into my workplace, and I don't want it to be there anymore, but I don't even know the steps to take to begin to get rid of that root that's grown deep in my life. And the good news is this. Paul gives you and I some incredible advice. That when this root of bitterness and anger and contempt has taken hold in your life, the way in which you get rid of it is to take these steps. We find him giving this advice in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 31. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Just in case you weren't sure what bitterness was, let me give you about every definition in the book. And he says, this is how you get rid of it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Paul says the first way in which you start to get rid of this root of bitterness that has grown deep in your life, the way in which you kill it, is to kill it with compassion. Paul also writes this: don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. It's like in this moment, Paul is putting on display every inch of this upside down faith that Jesus came to present in our lives that didn't seem logical to the world around him. This reality that if you're struck on one cheek, you're not supposed to strike them back. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. That you're supposed to return hatred for love and find a way to love your enemies. And Paul is saying, don't return evil with evil, but overcome that evil by doing good. You see, I think what we often overlook in our lives is that your past misery and my past misery has the potential to be a divine ministry. Do you realize that? That's so powerful. Your past misery has the potential to be a divine ministry because nothing communicates the unfathomable love of Christ like giving compassion in response to an offense. It's exactly what Christ did. Our constant offenses should have grown bitterness in him. And you know what he responded with? He responded with a cross of compassion that overcame every offense we ever committed. And that compassion is still something he offers daily in your life and in my life, in spite of us missing the mark time and time again. Christ responded with compassion, and he still does every single time. And so often what we miss is that returning hatred for hatred and evil for evil only perpetuates the problems in our world. It only makes things worse. It only makes them into this never-ending cycle of bitterness and anger towards everyone we come in contact with that the world right now is finding so difficult to overcome. See, when our response to hate is hate, bitterness starts to take root in every single one of us. And Jesus says, no, you're missing it. You're missing what I came to show you. You're missing what I've called you to. You're missing the way in which to drop this baggage that leads to a better life. Jesus says, if you want to start living in a different way and having a different Christmas and having a different marriage and having a different way of parenting and different relationships with your kids and the people around you at your workplace, the step you must take is to bless those who curse you and to pray for those who hurt you. To kill bitterness with compassion. You're saying, Ben, I don't know tangibly how to do that. And Jesus says, well, just start here. Pray for them. Just start by praying for them. And not in that sarcastic, disdainful kind of way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Not like, God, would you help them become a better person? God, would you change their life by helping them feel the full weight of their consequences for wronging me? No. Jesus is saying, what would it look like in your life if you started praying for the people that loved you in this way? God, I can only imagine the struggle and the hurt that they're presently walking through. God, I just pray that in whatever that is, you bring about peace and comfort in the midst of their circumstances. The greatest form of compassion is to pray for someone who's wronged you. And what you need to understand is this: it might not change them, but it always changes you. Compassion might not change them, but it always changes you. And it starts the digging process of getting rid of that dangerous root in your life and in my life. But we don't stop there. Not only do we kill it with compassion, but we also choose to kill that root of bitterness with forgiveness. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. See, if you're anything like me, I think the biggest roadblock in my life to forgiveness is this sin ranking system that I've created. This sin ranking system that determines whether or not you are worthy of my forgiveness based upon how bad your offense was. Based upon how bad your sin is a determination for whether or not you are worthy of compassion or worthy of forgiveness. And this word sin, it's actually derived from an archery term that means to miss the mark. You see, when we hear that, the missing of the mark in our sin ranking system, we have this natural follow-up question. This natural follow-up question that in our minds and in our lives determines whether or not we extend forgiveness. And that follow-up question is this: by how much? By how much did they miss the mark? And it's like God looks into your life and into my life and he says, no. A miss is a miss. It doesn't matter if it was by an inch or by a mile. And we get all thrown off because on earth, typically the consequences are weighed by how much we have missed the mark. But with God, that's not the way the equation system works. With God, an inch is the same thing as missing it by a mile. And yet, no matter how far you miss the mark by, God continues to extend forgiveness into your life and into my life. And don't you think if that's the way in which God operates, that his intention was for his people to operate in the same way in their relationships with each other? That his intention was for us to eradicate the question of by how much in our relationships with each other. And to recognize that time and time again, I have missed the mark, and yet I have been offered forgiveness freely. And that calls me, because I have been given it, to extend it to others. Not just for their benefit. It's not conceited to acknowledge that. That forgiveness isn't just for the benefit of the other person. Forgiveness is a way in which you root out bitterness in your life. And you start living better relationships and having better Christmases and experiencing a better journey. We give it, not based on how much they missed it by, because we were given it when we didn't deserve it. In our family, there's this game that I grew up on that we absolutely love. It's a card game that some of you may know by the title of Up the River and Down the River. In our household, it was called OH. I won't get into exactly what that means. My mom said it was always oh heck, but I'm not sure she was exactly accurate on that one. But it's this game that's predicated on a certain number of cards are dealt to everyone around the table. And then once the cards are dealt out, a trump suit is turned up. And everyone has to determine by what they have in their hand how many tricks they're going to take. And probably the reason in which it got the title of OH is because when it comes around to the dealer, they are not allowed to bid a number that lands on the exact number of cards that are out there. And so it means that every single round, someone gets set. And I know it's kind of a wrong game, right? But it's absolutely fun that someone screws up in every single hand that's dealt. But in this game, when the trump suit is turned over, there is one card in the deck that is better than every other card. It's the Ace of Trump. When you're dealt that card, there is this constant strategy game that plays out in your mind. I've got the greatest card in the deck. A card that can be hung over everybody else's head, that can beat what everybody else has in their hand. And throughout the entire hand, there's this thought process of, when do I play this card that beats every other card at just the right time to ensure that I get the amount of tricks that I said I was going to get? You see, so often in our lives, when we have been wronged by someone else, we view it as this trump card. And we hang on to it, and we allow our lives to be driven by a thought process and a strategy of, when's the perfect time to bust out the trump card, to bring this back to the surface, this thing that I've been holding on to for so long that beats whatever they've got in their hand. They want to make me feel bad? Just wait till I throw the trump card out on the table of what they did to me 4 years ago or 8 years ago, how they betrayed me in my marriage or in our relationship, they stabbed me in the back. And what we oftentimes overlook is that when we hang on to the trump card, it becomes a prison in our own life that consumes us, that we never stop thinking about, is this the right moment to throw it out on the table? Is this the right moment to hold it over their heads? As we find ourselves confined to that prison, we find the root of bitterness growing deeper and deeper inside of us. What if this Christmas was the Christmas you realized that that trump card was keeping you in a prison you were never meant to be in? And this is the Christmas that you let go of it. You threw the trump card away. You stopped living your life based upon those parameters. And you allowed yourself to forgive and to let it go. You want to travel light? This is the Christmas to throw away the trump card, to not let bitterness take root, but to offer the alternative, to kill it with compassion, and to kill it with forgiveness. And when we do that, we find ourselves letting go of the baggage, not allowing it to spew all over those that we love. We find ourselves on this journey, traveling just a little lighter. Would you pray with me? Father, today, God, we thank you for the forgiveness that you give us when we miss the mark. The compassion you offer us day in and day out, in spite of what we deserve. God, I pray in our lives and our relationships, as we have let bitterness grow roots inside of us, I pray that this Christmas we have the courage to see that bitterness in the mirror and to start to dig it out of our lives. Take the courageous step of responding in a different way. Not by returning evil with evil or hatred with hatred. God, by offering something that breaks the cycle, that releases us from this prison we're living in and allows us to travel just a little bit lighter. That's your desire for our lives, our marriages, our parenting, our workplaces. God, I pray that we have the courage to walk in that. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. This is the Christmas to let go of the baggage, the bitterness that has grown deep inside of you and inside of me. But in order for us to do that, we must see it in the mirror first. And this must be the Christmas in which we begin with those people in our lives to which we're hanging on to that bitterness, we start to offer something different. Traveling light is so much better. Next week, we continue with part 3 of this series. And we look at this baggage in our lives and our ability to let go of the excess stuff that we have accumulated over time, and what letting go of that and traveling just a little bit lighter this Christmas season and into our future, what it can do for the rest of our lives. It's a week that you do not want to miss. Again, thanks so much for joining us at Core Online. Have a great rest of your week.